This is a true crime in real time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you want to go through the entire superseding indictment against Diddy that just dropped technically on January 30th of 2025, you're in the right place. We are about to go through just that. Before we do, just have to say this. It happened. We knew it would happen. Are there likely going to be more superseding indictments in this case? Yes. We're going to go now through the second one in the federal case against Sean Diddy Combs. This is the big one. This is not any of the civil cases. This is the federal government's case against Diddy. This is what put Diddy behind bars. This is more evidence the feds have that they say is rock solid because they're not coming through with an indictment unless they know they will win. So if you thought was they had against Diddy already was pretty strong, this adds like a second giant brick layer that Diddy would have to break through. Let's say Teflon layer, actually, that Diddy would have to break through in order to beat his charges. So what does this mean for the case itself and the trial? Very likely means there's not going to be a trial in the coming months. This will probably push it back even further into this year or possibly next. And so will be the case with any further superseding indictments. The odds of Diddy getting to trial this year or even next are slim. We are honestly probably looking something more like 2027 before we see Diddy in court. That's my conjecture, but from experience, that's probably what will take place. So, without further ado, I have the indictment right over here on a screen that I am facing. You're not going to see the actual indictment on screen. I'm going to read it word for word, all 14 pages. This may take a little bit of time. So, grab yourself a beverage or two or a bottle of something strong and get ready to learn more about the world of Diddy as according to the federal government of the United States. We will start here. Count one, racketeering conspiracy. The grand jury charges Sean Combs. And then it does the AKA Puff Daddy, AKA P. Diddy, AKA P. D, AKA Love. We're not going to read that every time it's in the indictment because it's in here a lot. We're just going to say Sean Combs. Okay. The defendant abused, threatened, and coerced women and others around him to fulfill his sexual desires, protect his reputation, and conceal his conduct. To do so, Combs relied on his employees, resources, and influence of the multifaceted business empire that he led and controlled, creating a criminal enterprise whose members and associates engaged in and attempted to engage in, among other crimes, sex trafficking, forced labor, kidnapping, arson, bribery, and obstruction of justice. Sean Combs, a defendant, operated his business headquartered at various times in Manhattan and Los Angeles under a variety of U.S.-based corporate entities, including Bad Boy Entertainment, Combs Enterprises, and Combs Global, collectively the Combs Business. Corporate entities in the Combs Business included, among other things, record labels, a recording studio, an apparel line, an alcoholic spirits business, a marketing agency, and a television network and media company. At all times relevant to the indictment, Sean Combs, the defendant, engaged in a persistent and pervasive pattern of abuse towards women and other individuals. The abuse was at times verbal, emotional, physical, and sexual. As part of his pattern of abuse, Combs manipulated women to participate in orchestrated performances of sexual activity with Combs and at times with Combs and male commercial sex workers. At times, Combs and others acting at his direction made arrangements for women and commercial sex workers, among other things, obtaining and distributing narcotics to them, controlling their careers, leveraging his financial support, and threatening to cut off the same, and using intimidation and violence. And as we go through this, I want to say, feel free to put your thoughts in the comments of this. If you're watching this on YouTube, that's where we also post this. So in case you're listening to the podcast, which is actually where most people get this, we have a YouTube channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Go there. Please do leave your feedback in the comments. We'd love to hear it, and we'll probably talk about it on a future episode of the program. And while I'm at it, do hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any updates on this case. We are digging into it pretty much all the time. So, continuing forward. This is number four. Physical abuse by Sean Combs, the defendant, was recurrent and widely known. On numerous occasions from at least about 2009 and continuing for years, Combs assaulted women by, among other things, striking, punching, dragging, throwing objects at, and kicking them. Combs' violence was also not limited to these women. It extended to his employees, witnesses to his abuse, and others. On one occasion, at a Los Angeles hotel in or about March 2016, when he was captured on video and later publicly reported, Combs kicked, dragged, and threw a vase at a woman as she was attempting to leave. Of course, this is referring to the Cassie encounter. This indictment combines a lot of the things that were said in the first one with the new charges, just so you know. So if you're going, this sounds familiar, it is, because it's combining all of it into the new document. Continuing on. Attempting to leave, I think. Oh, publicly reported. Combs kicked, dragged, and threw a woman. Okay, we did that as she was attempting to leave. When a member of the hotel security staff intervened, Combs attempted to bribe the staff member to ensure silence. Subsequently, Combs, with the assistance of several close associates, paid hotel security $100,000 for the hotel's surveillance footage of the assault. Makes you kind of wonder a little bit, should there be charges against the hotel's security staff that basically enabled abuse? I think that would certainly be something to look at, but the big fish here is certainly Combs. The defendant used the Combs business, including certain employees, to carry out, facilitate, and cover up acts of violence, abuse, and commercial sex. Those employees, including security staff, household staff, personal assistants, and high-ranking supervisors and other close associates, acted at Combs' intermediaries, and their conduct was facilitated and assisted by Combs' control of the Combs business. It's interesting how this is worded, because we are wondering about who else may be charged in this. Assistants to Combs, heads of staff, other people who did participate in this. Will they be charged? It's a good question. I would guess probably some, but a lot of them are giving this information to the authorities right now. I believe the Department of Homeland Security is what's handling this. There's probably deals going on. You give us the information and we're going to let you out. In or about 2004 through 2024, this is the Combs Enterprise. This is some new information. The defendant and others, known and unknown, were members and associates of a criminal organization, the Combs Enterprise, or Enterprise. Members and associates of the Combs Enterprise engaged in and attempted to engage in, among other activities, sex trafficking, forced labor, interstate transportation for purposes of prostitution, coercion, and enticement to engage in prostitution, narcotics offenses, kidnapping, arson, bribery, and obstruction of justice. The Combs Enterprise, including its leadership, its members, and its associates, constituted an enterprise as defined by Title 18, United States Code, Section 1961-4. That is a group of individuals associated, in fact, although not a legal entity. The Combs Enterprise consisted of Sean Combs, the defendant. Entities within the Combs business, including but not limited to Bad Boy Entertainment, Combs Enterprises, and Combs Global. Individuals employed by and associated with the Combs business and others, known and unknown. 8, the Combs Enterprise constituted an ongoing organization whose members functioned as a continuing unit for a common purpose of achieving the objectives of the Combs Enterprise. The Combs Enterprise was engaged in and its activities affected interstate and foreign commerce. The Combs Enterprise operated in the Southern District of New York and elsewhere. At all times relevant to this indictment, Sean Combs, the defendant, was the leader of the Combs Enterprise. 10. Sean Combs, the defendant, and others, known and unknown, participated in unlawful and other activities related to the conduct of the Combs Enterprise affairs. The individuals included certain Combs business employees, such as members of Combs security staff, household staff, personal assistants, and high-ranking supervisors, as well as others close to Combs. The purpose of the Combs enterprise include the following: operating a global business in the media, entertainment, and lifestyle industries, including, among other things, record labels, recording studio, an apparel line, an alcoholic spirit business, a marketing agency, and a television network and media company. Preserving, protecting, promoting, and enhancing the power, reputation, and brand of Sean Combs, the defendant as a musician, entrepreneur, and figure in the entertainment industry. Enriching members and associates of the enterprise, including its leader Combs, and in particular those who demonstrated loyalty to Combs and willingness to conceal his crimes. Those are the folks that I think a lot of us are wondering about. Could they get plea deals? Certainly, without a doubt. They are going after the big fish here. Might they not? Depending what the feds feel on this, and if that is a deal they want to make with certain individuals, probably based on what they were participating in with Combs. Preserving, protecting, promoting, and enhancing the power of Combs Enterprise, including the power of its leader Combs, through violence, use of firearms, threats of violence, coercion, and verbal, emotional, and sexual abuse. Fulfilling personal desires of Combs, particularly those related to Combs' sexual gratification, including those of exploitation of women and the use of commercial sex workers. Enabling Combs and other members and associates of the Combs Enterprise to engage in unlawful acts of violence, including sexual violence, sex trafficking, forced labor, interstate transportation for purposes of prostitution, coercion, and enticement to engage in prostitution, narcotics distribution, and other crimes, and concealing the commission of such acts. Securing absolute loyalty from members of the Combs Enterprise, including through acts of violence, threats, and protecting the Combs Enterprise and its members and associates, including Combs, from detection and prosecution by law enforcement authorities through acts of intimidation, manipulation, bribery, and threats of retaliation against individuals who witnessed the crimes committed by members and associates of the Enterprise. Means and methods of the Enterprise. Number 12. Among the means and methods by which Sean Combs, the defendant, and other members and associates of the Combs Enterprise conducted and participated in the conduct of the affairs of the Combs Enterprises included the following. Combs, this is A, Combs and other members and associates of the Combs Enterprise wielded the power and prestige of Combs' role at the Combs business to intimidate, threaten, and lure female victims into Combs' orbit, often under the pretense of a romantic relationship. Combs then used force, threats of violence, and coercion to cause victims, including but not limited to three female victims, victim one, victim two, and victim three, to engage in commercial sex acts. In connection with the commercial sex acts, Combs provided victims with, among other things, monetary payments, career opportunities, and payment of rent and housing expenses. Some of the commercial sex acts involved male commercial sex workers and were referred to by Combs as, among other things, freak-offs. Freak-offs were elaborate and produced sex performances that Combs arranged, directed, masturbated during, and often electronically recorded. In arranging these freak-offs, Combs, with the assistance of other members and associates of the Combs Enterprise, transported and caused to be transported commercial sex workers across state lines and internationally. Freak-offs occurred regularly, sometimes lasted multiple days, and often involved multiple commercial sex workers. During freak-offs, Combs distributed a variety of controlled substances to the victims, in part to keep the victims obedient and compliant, sometimes unbeknownst to the victims. Combs kept videos he filmed of the victims engaging in sex acts with commercial sex workers. Freak-offs, Combs and the victims physically received IV fluid to recover from the physical exertion and drug use. Here's an important part to note about that. They are specifically talking about acts in the videos. That tells you right there they have the videos. Now, another thing that tells you they have the videos is the fact that Combs' attorneys just the other week said, okay, in the videos, pretty much recognizing the videos exist, these were all consenting adults. The federal government disagrees with that. Members and associates of the Combs Enterprise, including high-ranking supervisors, security staff, household staff, personal assistants, and other Combs business employees, facilitated the freak-offs by, among other things, booking hotel rooms for the freak-offs, stocking the hotel rooms in advance with a required Freak Off Supplies, including controlled substances, baby oil, lubricant, extra linens, and lighting. Cleaning the hotel rooms after the freak-offs to try to mitigate room damage, arranging for travel for victims, commercial sex workers, and combs to and from freak-offs, resupplying combs with requested supplies, delivering large sums of cash to combs to pay the commercial sex workers, and scheduling the delivery of IV fluids in or about March of 24 during searches of combs' residence in Miami, Florida, and Los Angeles. California law enforcement seized various freak-off supplies, including narcotics, and more than, this was the fun part, more than 1,000 bottles of baby oil and lubricant. Other commercial sex acts involved only combs and a female victim. As with freak-offs, other members and associates of the Combs Enterprise assisted with the arrangements for these commercial sex acts, including by arranging travel and accommodation for victims. At times, Combs, with the assistance of other members and associates of the Enterprise, transported and caused to be transported victims across state lines and internationally in connection with the commercial sex acts. Like the freak-offs, these commercial sex acts involving Combs and the female victim were prearranged, sometimes lasted multiple days, were sometimes electronically recorded by Combs, and often involved Combs distributing a variety of controlled substances to the victim, in part to keep the victim obedient and compliant. Combs subjected victims to physical, emotional, and verbal abuse to cause the victims to engage in freak-offs and other commercial sex acts. Combs maintained control over his victims through, among other things, physical violence, promises of career and financial opportunities, granting and threatening to withhold financial support and by other coercive means, including tracking their whereabouts, dictating the victim's appearance, monitoring their medical records, controlling their housing, and supplying them with controlled substances. During and separate from freak-offs and other commercial sex acts, Combs, among other things, hit, kicked, and threw objects at and dragged victims at times by their hair. These assaults often resulted in injuries that took days or weeks to heal. Following the assaults, Combs, with the assistance of members and associates of the Enterprise, frequently worked to conceal his misconduct by offering to provide medical assistance or other financial benefits to the victims. See, he's not so bad after all. Combs, and keep in mind, for those listening, that's a rolling eyes moment. Don't think I truly meant that. Combs also threatened victims' careers and livelihoods, including if they registered, or rather resided, or, in engaging in sex acts with Combs, and at times with Combs and male commercial sex workers. Victims believed they could not refuse Combs' demands without risking their financial or job security or without repercussions in the form of physical or emotional abuse. Combs also uses sensitive, embarrassing, incriminating recordings that he made during freak-offs as collateral to ensure the continued obedience and silence of the victims. That's another important part right there. They got solid evidence to prove that. Members and associates of the Combs Enterprise, including Combs security personnel, at times carried firearms. On more than one occasion, Combs himself carried or brandished firearms to intimidate and threaten others, including victims of and witnesses to his abuse in or about March of 24. During searches of Combs' residence in Miami, Florida, and Los Angeles, California, law enforcement seized firearms and ammunition, including three AR-15s with defaced serial numbers, as well as a drum magazine. Members and associates of Combs Enterprise enabled Combs' control over victims by following his directions regarding financial payments to victims, advancing or suppressing the victims' career opportunities, and acquiring the controlled substances Combs used to keep the victims compliant. Members and associates of the Combs Enterprise at times witnessed Combs' violence towards the victims or the victims' injuries caused by Combs without intervening. Instead, members and associates of the Combs Enterprise helped conceal the violence and abuse by, among other things, assisting Combs in monitoring and preventing victims from leaving locations such as hotels or Combs residences. These occasions included instances in which a victim was required to remain in hiding, sometimes for several days at a time, to recover from injuries Combs inflicted, without being publicly observed. Members and associates of the Combs Enterprise also assisted Combs in locating and contacting victims to attempt who attempted to flee his abuse. So, I mean, that's where you get to where it's basically kidnapping and probably imprisonment as well. When employees, witnesses to his abuse and others threaten Combs' authority or reputation, Combs and members and associates of the enterprise engaged in acts of violence, threats of violence, threats of financial and reputational harm, and verbal abuse. These acts of violence included arson and multiple acts of kidnapping, including one instance of kidnapping during which Combs carried and displayed a firearm. In addition, on multiple occasions, Combs threw both objects at people as well as hit, dragged, choked, and shoved others. On one occasion, Combs dangled a victim over an apartment balcony. There's a new one for you. When Combs' authority or reputation was threatened by the possibility of negative publicity or legal or law enforcement action against him, including in or about late 23 following public allegations of Combs' crimes, Combs and members and associates of the enterprise pursued witnesses and victims, including through attempted bribery, to stay silent and not report what they experienced or knew to law enforcement. On phone calls, Combs and other members and associates of the enterprise, among other things, provided these victims and witnesses with a false narrative of events in an effort to conceal Combs' crimes. Combs caused these calls to be recorded on at least two occasions. There you go. There's a lot in here. There's more to come. I got more here, but there's a lot in that piece right there. Hanging someone over a balcony, I believe there is a civil suit that talks about that. And there's other nuggets in here. If you're following the civil suits, which are separate from this, you will see little pieces that coincide with those other allegations. And sometimes in those civil suits, they're more detailed than just what's in the federal indictment. The feds are only going after the big pieces of what they know will put him away. So if you're curious about something that's going on, I've heard this before. Yeah, look up some of the civil suits. That's going to tell you the ones that the feds have been able to cross-reference and verify as basically being legit. So keep that in mind as we continue on. The racketeering conspiracy. Here's our next chapter. From or at least about 2004 through in or about 2024, excuse me, the Southern District of New York, and elsewhere, Sean Combs, the defendant, this is a lot to read, I gotta take a sip, and others, known and unknown, being persons employed by and associated with the Combs Enterprise, described in paragraphs 6 through 12 of this indictment, an enterprise engaged in and the activities of which affected interstate and foreign commerce, knowingly combined, conspired, confederated and agreed together and with each other to violate the racketeering laws of the United States, to wit, Title 18, United States Code, Section 1962C, that is to conduct and participate directly and indirectly in the conduct of affairs of Combs Enterprise through a pattern of racketeering activity, as that term is defined in Title 18, United States Code 1961-1 and 1961-5, consisting of multiple acts of kidnapping chargeable under the following provisions of state law. And it goes into all of those penal codes. I don't think you want me to list these off because it just kind of sounds like I'm reading off Powerball numbers at that point. B. Multiple acts involving arson chargeable under the following provisions of state law. California Penal Code 451, arson. California Penal Code 21A. 644, attempt. California Penal Code 31, aiding and abetting. And California Penal Code 182, conspiracy. Multiple acts involving bribery chargeable under the following provisions. Bribery of a witness, attempt, aiding and abetting. And California Penal Code 182, conspiracy. Multiple acts indictable under Title 18, United States Code 1512, relating to tampering with a witness, victim, or informant, and multiple acts included under Title Code 18 relating to forced labor. F. Multiple acts under Title 18 relating to sex trafficking, also relating to transportation and inducement to travel for purposes of prostitution and other legal sexual activities, multiple offenses involving the possession with intent to distribute or distribution of narcotics and controlled substances, including cocaine, oxycodone, Prazolam. Oh my God, this is over long. I've never seen this. It's basically a version of methamphetamine. I don't know if this is the pink stuff. Methylendimethamphetamine. It looks like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious on the screen. It's the longest word I think I've ever seen. Bromo 2-5. Another drug that's about as long. There's a lot of drugs being put in here. Ketamine, methamphetamine. There's a lot. There's more in here than we've learned of before. And some of them may just simply be its pharmaceutical name, but you got me on how you even say some of these. I've never seen these. So he had his share of drugs going on. We'll put it at that. It was part of a conspiracy that Sean Combs, the defendant, agreed that a conspirator would commit at least two acts of racketeering activity in the conduct of affairs of the Combs Enterprises. So you got a lot there. That's relating to a lot of drugs, a lot of, really, really horrible things going on there in the world of Diddy that otherwise, obviously, should not be going on. From, or at least in or about 2009 up into including about 2018. In the Southern District of New York and elsewhere, as part of his agreement to conduct and participate in the conduct of affairs of the Combs Enterprise through a pattern of racketeering activity, Sean Combs, the defendant, agreed to and affecting interstate and foreign commerce, knowingly recruit, entice, harbor, transport, provide, obtain, advertise, maintain, patronize, and solicit by any means a person knowing and in reckless disregard of the fact that means of force, threats of force, fraud, and coercion, as described in Title 18, United States Code 1591E2, and any combination of such means would be used to cause the person to engage in a commercial sex act in violation of Title 18, United States Code 1591 and B1. Count 2, sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion. Let's get into that piece. The grand jury charges from at least in or about 2009 up to and including in or about 2018 in the Southern District of New York and elsewhere, Sean Combs, a defendant, in and affecting interstate and foreign commerce, knowingly recruited, enticed, harbored, transported, provided, obtained, advertised, maintained, patronized, and solicited by any means a person knowing and in reckless disregard of the fact that the means of force, threats of force, fraud, and coercion, as described in Title 18, United States Code Section 1591E2, and any combination of such means, would be used to cause the person to engage in commercial sex acts, and attempted, aided and abetted, and willingly caused the same, to wit, Combs, recruited, enticed, harbored, transported, and maintained victim one, and attempted, aided and abetted, and willingly and willfully caused victim one to engage in commercial sex acts knowingly in reckless disregard of the fact that victim one was engaging in commercial sex acts as a result of force, fraud, and coercion. Count 3, transportation to engage in prostitution. The grand jury further charges from at least or about 2009 up to and including in or about 2024 in the Southern District of New York and elsewhere, Sean Combs, the defendant, knowingly transported individuals in interstate and foreign commerce with intent that the individuals engage in prostitution and attempted, aided and abetted, and willingly caused the same, to wit, Combs transported, aided and abetted, and willfully caused the transportation of female victims, including not but not limited to victim one, victim two, and victim three, and commercial sex workers and interstate and foreign commerce on multiple occasions with the intent that they engage in prostitution. Forfeiture allegations. This is interesting. 18. As a result of committing the offense alleged in count one of this indictment. The defendant shall forfeit to the United States pursuant to Title 18, United States Code, Section 1963, any and all interests the defendant acquired or maintained in violation of Title 18, United States Code, Section 1962, and all interests in securities, claims against, and property or contractual rights of any kind, affording a source of influence over the enterprise named and described herein, which the defendant established, operated, controlled, conducted, and participated in the conduct of in violation of Title 18, United States Code 1962, and any and all property constituting and derived from proceeds obtained directly and indirectly said offense, including but not limited to the sum of money in United States currency representing the amount of proceeds traceable to the commission of said offense. As a result of committing the offense alleged to count two of this indictment, Sean Combs, a defendant, shall forfeit to the United States pursuant to Title 18, United States Code, Section 1594, any and all property, real and personal, involved in, used, or intended to be used to commit or facilitate the commission of said offense, and any and all property traceable to such property, and any and all property, real and personal, constituting or derived from proceeds obtained directly or indirectly as a result of said offense, including but not limited to the sum of money in the United States currency representing the amount of property involved in said offenses and proceeds traceable to the commission of said offense. We're going to talk about this here in a minute once we get through it and what it all means, or at least what we understand it to mean. At this time, I want to let you know this. On our podcast channel and on the YouTube channel, we already have conversations up, but now that this just dropped, I have not talked to any of our guests literally since this dropped, because it literally dropped about 10 hours ago, late at night. I'm today, as of this recording, going to be talking with defense attorney Bob Mata on this topic. He's going to help us break down the legalese of all of this and exactly what this means from an attorney's standpoint. And we're going to be talking with Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, on this topic to give us insight from the federal government's angle and what all of this means. So do press subscribe wherever you are listening or watching to this so you don't miss that. That will be coming out in the coming days. And if you're a premium subscriber on our podcast channel, you'll get it pretty much instantly, because as we record those, we put them out right as we get them done. Otherwise, we drop them in the following days or weeks. Anyway, continuing on. As a result of committing the offense alleged in court, count three of this indictment, Sean Combs, a defendant, shall forfeit to the United States pursuant to Title 18, United States Code, Section 2428, any and all property, real and personal, constituting or derived from proceeds obtained directly or indirectly as a result of said offense, and any and all property, real or personal, that was used to or intended to be used to commit or facilitate the commission of said offense, and Title 18, United States Code 981, and Title 28, United States Code, Section 2461, any and all property, real and personal, that constitutes or is derived from proceeds traceable to the commission of said offense, including but not limited to the sum of money in United States currency representing the amount of proceeds traceable to the commission of said offense. Our next section is a substitute assets provision. Let's go into that before we start talking about the property forfeitures and what that all means, because it means a lot to this case and the financial means of Sean Combs going forward. If any of the above described forfeitable property as a result of any act or omission of the defendant cannot be located upon the exercise of due diligence, B has been transferred or sold to or deposited with a third person, C has been placed beyond the jurisdiction of the court, D has been substantially diminished in value, or E has been commingled with other property which cannot be subdivided without difficulty, it is the intent of the United States pursuant to Title 18, United States Code, Section 1963M, Title 21, United States Code, Section 853P, and Title 28, United States Code, Section 2461C, to seek forfeiture of any other property of the defendant up to the value of the above forfeitable property. And then it goes into all the codes and all the titles that they are listing in this document. So this is the superseding indictment in its entirety. You just heard it. That's what's going on. What does all of that mean? From my understanding, okay, I'm not an attorney. I'm not an FBI agent, but I talk about true crime every day and all the time. So I have a little insight into this. Essentially, they're going after all of his assets, saying basically anything you did in these time windows, because they're saying he was doing all of these things, influencing people, making promises, all to get what he wanted, basically sexually and professionally. And the fact that these things were so intermingled together that all of it, basically any earnings, kind of from what I'm understanding here, are going to be property of the United States government. So what does that mean? I'm going to talk to Bob about this. I'm going to talk to Jennifer Coffendaffer about this to get full clarity. But what my understanding is, now don't quote me on this. Don't say, oh, you were wrong, because I may be, but I don't think I am. Those homes that are up for sale right now, they're probably going to be seized. And anything in them. What about other things in the business? Yeah, anything that's there, probably going to be seized. How will that affect Combs in terms of his financial ability to represent himself? Hard to say as of right now. It does speak in there if they're not able to seize things. Like, let's say if he has money in a foreign account or something of that nature, which in all likelihood he probably does when you have that much money. Could be wrong, but it's probably also in investments as well. All of that is up for grabs by the federal government and up for seizure. So could have a major impact on the case. How he's paying his attorneys could have a major impact based on the superseding indictment. And again, I think we're just at the beginning. I know we're 7 months into this now, and we thought the first indictment was big. This adds a lot more to it. This goes into seizure of property and really kind of takes Sean Combs from being, this financial mogul with, you know, superpowers, even though he is in federal custody. And it really, it kind of kills that. It really takes away a lot of his means to what he had. So it'd be stupid to think that he hasn't already tried to move these assets around as of now. They're already, I'm sure, looking into all of that. I'm going to guess some of these assets will probably be frozen for a while or seized. But that's all things that we should dig into with our friend Bob Mata, defense attorney, in this coming days, and with Coffendaffer, and probably Robin Drake as well in the coming days. So be sure to press subscribe on our channel. We are going to continue to break this down to fully understand the exact details of what the repercussions of this new superseding indictment against Sean Combs Diddy means. There is a lot to break down. And of course, with this first indictment brought a cornucopia of new charges. The second indictment, if there was more people on the fence, which I'm sure there was, about coming forward, it essentially creates more of a safeguard for them to come forward, where they're not going to have to live in fear of retribution from Combs or his cronies. Because a lot of the cronies, it appears here, are talking to the federal government. And they're saying, okay, yeah, I worked for him. Here's what we did. Please have some mercy on me, and I will work with you. Now, the terms of all of those things, those are between the informants and the federal government. Sometimes it's in paper. Sometimes it says, okay, you do this, we're going to do this. Sometimes it's like, how about you just frickin' talk? And then we'll decide if you deserve anything. It's all case by case, individual. by individual. But that is the latest with a little conjecture in there. Thank you for listening and getting through all 40 minutes of the Sean Combs superseding indictment. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you are listening or watching this so you don't miss any of those updates. I am Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.